The sermon this evening comes from Exodus chapter 15. We'll be doing verses 1 through 21. I'll just remind you of the context. We have gone through, we've seen all of the plagues that had taken place in Egypt. We've seen God demonstrating His power and His authority, and His desire, willingness, and I would even argue His eagerness to rescue His people. He has brought them out of the land of Egypt, and then He has destroyed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And following this, we see Moses and the sons of Israel sing this song to the Lord. Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will extol Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army He has cast into the sea, and the choicest of His officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of Your excellence, You overthrow those who rise up against You. You send forth Your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of Your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with Your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like You among the gods, O Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out Your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In Your loving kindness, You have led the people whom You have redeemed. In Your strength, You have guided them to Your holy habitation. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling gripped them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of Your arm, they are motionless as stone. Until Your people pass over, O Lord, until the peoples pass over whom You have purchased, You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of Your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which You have made for Your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which Your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his rider He has hurled into the sea." Pray with me. Our God, thank You for preserving what has taken place. Thank You for bringing it to us tonight and speaking it to us tonight. Give us those hearts of eager children that would listen to their Father with joy and with delight. As we see truth, as we see reality expressed, as we set our hearts on the things that have been, on the things that are, and on the things that will be even in our own lives. We thank You, God, for having accomplished so great a salvation in the past, in the present, and in the future. God, give us those hearts that rejoice in You. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Throughout history, it's played out again and again and again. In the scripture, we are given the same picture again and again and again. We see God's people tied up. We see God's people in bondage. We see God's people under the shadow of sin, under the shadow of death. We see them cry out to God. We see God rush in and rescue them with so great a salvation. And from that place, then, we see God's people rejoicing with hearts that give him worship and give him service. And it's the same picture in our own lives. We should look at this, and we are to look at this, and we are to think, I was like that. I was captured in sin. The enemy was upon me. God gave me a heart to cry out to him, and I cried out to him, and he did rush in. He did rescue me. He did save me. And from that place, as his people and as his children, he has given me a heart to rejoice in him and to give him his worship and to give him his praise. Now, at the right moments when we are thinking correctly, we come here with that mind, thinking, I was dead. He made me alive. I was in bondage, and he set me free. He has called me to come and to give him his worship. The beautiful thing about worship is God speaks to us in his word and he tells us how to come. He tells us what to bring. We can think in terms and we think of God as the husband. The church is thought of as the bride and described this way. We can think that the husband has told the wife, this is exactly what I want you to bring me. We can say, this is my favorite meal. This is my favorite dessert. I love it when you do it this way. I love it when you make it this way. We can come together and we can cultivate our hearts. We can bring him what he has called on us to bring him. And we can sit in the pew or stand in the pew and we can sing his word. And we can do so with joy, knowing that as we are in Christ Jesus, we are bringing the sacrifice of praise to him. Our God, your God, who has loved you, who has rescued you, looks on you and beams and rejoices. So we are in a winning position. A delightful position to be received, to give God specifically what he has called us to give him. So the call for you tonight, and this is really where his heart is for you to worship with your whole heart. What does he want? You. How much of you? All of you. When you seek me with your whole heart, you shall find me. So all of us are at this place as individuals and as families to actually give God what he wants. Because it's you. It's your heart that he desires. And the beautiful thing is we come together like two drops of water. That he longs to fellowship with you. He longs to have you. He longs for you to know one another. So our first step this evening is sing to the Lord. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. This idea of it being to him is very specific. Why do we come together and why do we sing? Is it simply a good idea? Is it simply a pleasant thing? Or are we giving something specific to him where he has said, I want you to bring this to me? In Psalm 51, it even gives the idea that you have supplied my praise. That's the psalmist speaking to the Father. You have supplied my praise. You have given me what I am able to give back to you. So we think of worship in these terms. The first time worship is referenced in Genesis 4:3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to God. to the Lord. He's coming, and this offering is that. It's to God. In Genesis 8:20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. In Genesis 12:7, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, I'm bringing this intentionally so that this will influence the way that we think when we come into the worship service. When we sing, we are actually singing to the Lord. And he wants it to come from your heart. And this is why I do the psalm introductions the way that I do. That we won't just be going through the motions, not just singing words on a page. That we will be thinking about the truth that is being expressed in Scripture. The reality that is being announced, that we are saying to God. So may that be our heart, that we are singing to him. Hebrews 13:15 expresses it this way. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. It's a beautiful place in which we are set. Our next step is to sing with Jesus. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. In the overlaps, as I describe them in Scripture, there are these times, and I described before when I was a graphic designer, and you would make a picture, and you were building a full and a complete picture, but you would be doing it a piece at a time. You would have a sheet of acetate, clear plastic, and you would have a board, and you would have a piece of a picture there, and then this acetate would lay over, and you would have another part of the picture there. And then you would have another sheet of acetate laid over and another part of the picture there. And it would stack with another part and another part and another part until you had the full picture and you could see it then. We look at that and God's continuing revelation or his progressive revelation. As you look through each book and maybe even through each chapter, there's another layer that's provided. When we look in the book of Exodus, we see Moses standing as a layer, a partial picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 18:5, Moses had made this statement, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet who is like me," someone from your own brothers. And in Acts 7:37, this is quoted as representing Jesus. That Moses was this representation of Jesus. We look at the scripture then and see Moses as this partial fulfillment of Jesus coming. In 1 Peter 1:11, it talks about the prophets seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The Holy Spirit carrying along the psalmist, the Holy Spirit carrying along the prophets is that Spirit of Christ that's given to us. In Romans 8:9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. This idea of the Spirit of Jesus being in you, and this is what is being expressed as we sing his word to one another. In Mark 12:36, it says, David himself said, "In the Holy Spirit," and it quotes the psalm, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet." We see the opportunity that we have together to announce the way and to announce the truth and to announce the life, which are Christ Jesus himself. In Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and song." Take that idea for a moment. The Lord actually being your song. We looked at the idea in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Revelation 19:13 says it this way in describing Jesus. "He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The Lord is my song. Jesus is the Word of God. In Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And again, Hebrews 13:15. Through Him then, that is Jesus, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. We get to sing with Jesus. He is present with us. He supplies our praise. He dwells in our midst. And we have this beautiful opportunity. Now, attached to this opportunity, Jesus, and now we move to the body of Christ. We move to Exodus 15:1 again. Then Moses being this foreshadowing of Jesus, and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And this third step is sing with the church. I don't know if that appeals to you or not. Sing with the church. I don't know what the word church does to you. For some of us, it's those people that we have to hang out with. For some of us, it might be those people that we have to endure. For others of us, and hopefully, it's the people of God. The people who love the Lord. The people that God has saved. It's that good and beautiful and glorious opportunity. Now, people are always hard to deal with. People that we live with are even more hard to deal with because, to some extent, we can't even get away from them. Well, here, it seems like we can get away. Some of us do. Some of us have. Some of us have shunned one another or ran away from one another and are simply gone. People provide attention, yes. Generally, it's going to be a necessary attention. A test. Something that God does for us as well as to us. But He brings us together as parts of His body, as members of His body. So we, His people, we, the sheep of His pasture, it's described this way in Psalm 100, which we will be singing, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Now, for those of us who struggle to be here sometimes, maybe that's hard, to enter these gates with thanksgiving. Well, on one hand, you're commanded to, so that must make it good in some way. But when we think rightly and when we are seeking the Lord, we'll actually enjoy doing the things that He tells us to do. To enter His gates with praise and to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Most of the time, that thanksgiving and that praise, that's His. We come together rejoicing in Him, even though we have to hang out together sometimes. Now, I hope I'm not being too negative there. I hope more of you, or most of you, and we would hope all of us, could rejoice in being together. But I don't want to ignore the tensions that can be and will be present at times. Psalm 96:2. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. This is a part of the worship that we bring. And I remind you that Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him then, that is through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips, to give thanks to His name. Our next step, number 4, is love the big win. And I wrestled around with how to say this specifically, but loving the big win seems to bring it home. There have been times, and there have been few times in observing a sporting event that I have really rejoiced. But when my kids play and something amazing happens, I've been known to fly up onto my feet and throw a fist into the air and shout, "Yes!" in such a moment, especially when there has been a big win. Well, we look here and see what is taking place, and we go back to Exodus 15:1 again. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted." This is actually a really difficult phrase to translate here. It's actually only one word for where it says he is highly exalted. Young's literal translation says, "For triumphing, he hath triumphed." It's like winning, he won. He won. We might say he won one. He really won is the idea. So we look at the Israelites and we see them rejoicing in it. And I'm going to go ahead and say, let's keep it vague for the sake of you making it particular in your life. I would like you to look at your life and look at the win that has taken place on your behalf. How has he triumphed victoriously in your life? Each of us could make just that little piece or meditation all week. We could take that and we could love it. We could take it and we could meditate on it. We could make that all of our quiet time this week, thinking, how has he triumphed victoriously in my life? We could look at all the foreshadowing in the Old Testament and look at the victories that he has won. We can look at how that is a picture of what he has done for you in each one of those, the great victory that he has won. I love that God speaks in these terms here. The Lord is a warrior. That's Yahweh, or Jehovah is a warrior. The Lord is his name. That is, the living one is his name. He's the real one. He is the true one. We see the great victory that has won. 1 Corinthians 15:25 through 26, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." The last enemy that will be abolished is death. There's a little piece that you could throw in there as you are meditating on in what way he has rescued you. He's already conquered death. He stands and shouts out victoriously with 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 58, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" And he tells us the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain." A great rescue, a great victory that has taken place for you by the Lord Jesus Christ, even to where we look and see, even the last enemy is done. Even the last enemy is conquered. Death itself has no sway over you. So where can we be afraid? Where could we be shut down when the last enemy is done? The picture is given in Exodus 15:4, Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he cast into the sea. And the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. These Egyptians, they were the scariest thing they had. They were the bane of their existence. You could probably think in your life, what was the scariest thing that's been on me? What's the heaviest thing that's ever come for me? The darkest shadow, the darkest fear, the darkest night. God put that before them and unleashes it on them, that it's rolling down on them. It says, see what's coming? You see that thing that you've been afraid of? You see that thing that has held you fast and held you down, held your father's father's father down? Watch this. And he crushes it. Crushes it. We see their heart in verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. God says, no. No. We see what God does at the blast of your nostrils. The waters were piled up. The flowing water stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. And we shout, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. And it's laid out and shown for us. It says, is there another God like you? Nope. No, there is not. People will look and say, and they'll have their bumper stickers, coexist. Imagine that we are all equal or that all gods are equal. No. He's the living one. Has any of their gods done this? And if we could take a moment, and if I could point to each of your hearts and ask, has any other god done this? Rescued you. Changed you. Accomplished so great a salvation. Who is like him? Who can rescue? Who can save? Who can deliver? Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, and working wonders? You stretched out your hand, and the earth swallowed them. So our next step, number 5, is sing. Because your sin and your death are thrown away. Verse 1, and Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. We are to think in these terms when we come to church. I have been saved. I have been rescued. I have been delivered. The great salvation has been brought to me. The bondage, the house of slavery, I have been rescued. Micah 7:19 says, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The horse, the rider, the sword, the shield, the fear, the death, every darkness and shadow that you dread is undone in Christ Jesus. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. And in that flood of great water, we will not be overtaken. And then we see this last great hope that's offered to us in verse 13. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. And this step is sing because of the hope of heaven. It's given as this picture in the older covenant of this promised land, where he will dwell in their midst, where there will be a mountain that they can climb, a mountain that they can go to, and they can meet with him. This is what you've been given. This is the full rescue that you have been promised. In Revelation 21:3, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? We sing because we have been loved. We sing because we have been rescued. We sing because we are loved. We sing because we are rescued. We sing because we will be loved. We sing because we will be rescued. A salvation that is so great, a life that is so great, that it is called eternal and it has been given to you. As we saw in John 1, not because of the will of God, or the will of man rather, not because of biological birth, but the will of God. His intention, His desire, His salvation, His rescue given to you. So we sing. We give Him this sacrifice of praise, the worship He has provided, and with full confidence, we know He receives it. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for so great a rescue. We thank You that You have loved us. We thank You that You have conquered the enemy. We thank You that we don't need to fear even death itself. Thank You, Lord. We praise You and give us those hearts and give us that worship to give back to You, that You will be glorified in our service, in our hearts as individuals, in our families, Lord, in our churches and in our nation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.